Nah, dude. Podcasting is boring as shit. So I'm at the bar last night, right? I sort of told this story to John already. Mm-hmm. But Chris, I'm at the bar last night, and this guy next to me at the bar is like talking to the bartender about something called Shiba Coin. One of those.
Okay. It's like the new Dogecoin.
Cryptocurrencies that just has a dog on it. It's got a cute cartoon of a dog, whatever.
Right.
He's like, you know, I made $100 off of Shiba Coin. And I'm like, yeah, dude, cryptocurrency's cool. But I mean, I would never buy any coin with a dog on it because, like, it's a gimmick. It's a shit coin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made it. I guess maybe I made him sad a little bit. But I was telling him about some other cryptos. And then this morning, I decided to buy a coin with a dog on it.
Which one, Shiba, or is there a new
no?
One?
It's actually a Samoyed coin.
They made a Samoyed coin. Oh my god!
It's one of those limited edition. Coin, yeah. Burger King gold coins with an Arcanine on it from the original Pokemon series.
Oh, I
just
Arcanine.
Thought the cartoon of the puppy was so cute.
See, you can't be doing that shit because it's not going to be too long before like these NFT freaks figure out that there are things people are actually interested in buying and not just like slapping together pit crew monkeys.
Oh, calling them like NFT freaks.
Sludge monkey or whatever.
So somebody made an NFT of weed.
What? Just like the concept of weed? The drug? THC in a plant?
So most of the NFTs that are sold are on the Ethereum blockchain, but there's another crypto called Phantom. Mm-hmm. The symbol is FTM. Phantom with an F.
And it attacks you if you haven't slept in 3 days.
No. It's it's a cryptocurrency that tracks the price of all ghost type Pokemon. No, I'm just kidding.
it's only for Spirit Tomb.
That would be
it's like a cryptocurrency,
way better technique.
But it's like the old Monster Rancher Game Boy game where you, if you want to gain more cryptocurrency, you have to take your Game Boy and the special adapter and scan mm-hmm. barcodes around your house to generate new monsters.
I never played it, but I remember there was one on like PS2, I think it was Monster Rancher, where you could put in DVDs and like mm-hmm. each movie would have like a special monster. And I feel like that's that kind sick. Of, I was like, how is that possible? How do they know what all the movies are and then can like scan a monster out of it?
Well, they like aggregate random bits of incidental data from around the CD. I don't know which ones, but I do know mm-hmm. that it was popular enough and had a dedicated enough community that for a while, certain CDs that would generate like game optimal monsters were mm-hmm. so prized that there was an industry of people selling them to each other
that rules.
As like
couldn't
peripherals to
it?
The Monster Rancher game. Yeah.
Yeah, you could just burn it. But there's Phantom, and then on top of the Phantom blockchain, somebody made an NFT that's just different strains of weed. So you can buy an NFT of your favorite weed strain on the Phantom blockchain. I'm probably not going to do it because it's like, why would you spend money on an NFT of weed when you could just spend money on weed?
Yeah, you can't smoke the blockchain, right? Get back to me when you've got
yet.
Smokable blockchain.
That's right. Yeah,
blockchain
exactly.
over my hammy.
That would be a good way to get people to buy like more expensive weed. It'd be like, look, it's $200 for a little carton, but like you're getting the weed and also an NFT that proves that it's your weed. So if your
That's
friend
right.
smokes it at a party, you can like flash your NFT badge at him and then he owes you, you know, some Ethereum.
I'm just thinking like a cop like pulls you over in a non-decrim state and he's like, okay, sir, I'm gonna need to search your vehicle. And he finds the weed and he's like, okay, may I see your NFT that proves that this is yours? And you're like, actually, officer, I don't have an NFT that proves this is mine. And he's like, you're free to go.
I do have a certificate of
cop on the force.
Yeah.
I do have this certificate of authenticity and an appraisal by Pawn Stars celebrity Rick Harrison, and he's like, "No, no, 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 none of that matters. If it's not on the blockchain, it ain't shit." And then he gets back in his police Tesla and crashes right into a fucking wall.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, you like pull Tesla. You put on glasses like you're Morpheus in the Matrix, and you're like, "Look, if it's not on the blockchain, how do you even know that it's weed at all? Do you think this That's is right. weed I'm smoking?" And then he gets hijacked by an agent and shoots you in the face.
I mean, this is where we're heading. Like, eventually cops are going to be pulling you over and they're like, "Are you texting and driving?" And you're like, sweating bullets. You're like, "No, I promise. I was just liking Elon Musk's tweets." And they're like, "All right, you're free to go."
Well,
the true of, fascism. Mm-hmm.
Like it or ticket.
Well, speaking of something that may soon be on the blockchain, did you guys see this new thing, Zilch?
Zilch. I don't think so.
Isn't that where you buy houses from your phone? Is that Zillow?
Who the fuck knows? But apparently Zilch is like it's just another financial product that is being developed by Silicon Valley and marketed to millennials. Okay. But I saw an ad that was like the most dystopian thing that I've ever seen, which is buy a pizza now at Papa John's and pay over 6 weeks.
Why would you pay over 1 week now, for a Papa John's?
Buy a pizza on credit with a payment plan.
We're going the wrong way.
No, this is great. This is great. You want to know why? If you buy a car and you don't pay and you don't pay make the payments, they can take your car back. What the fuck are they gonna do? Take my goddamn pizza out of my fucking stomach? I already ate it, bitch. Come fucking
later,
find me.
Yeah, it's in the fucking sewer. It's long gone from my house.
That's right.
There's no trace left.
I mean, they're just gonna fucking devalue your credit score, and they're gonna be like, "You can't ever take out a fucking pizza loan ever again."
Yeah, I can't buy more. I can't buy more pizza on credit. Fine, I'll just make another account.
Okay. Getting a credit check so that I can make an order from fucking Domino's. Like, I don't know. It's really, it's just taking us back to the era of being like, you know, I'm good for it at your local bar, and you do that one too many times and you have to go across the street and be like, "You know, I'm good for it."
It's like, if you want meat lovers, buddy, we're going to have to do a hard credit pull.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actively going to damage your credit score just to get you a two-topping pizza.
Horrifying.
Joe Pesci walking into the Zilch office, and he's like, "What the fuck? You chucking my fucking credit because I'm ordering pizza? You know how much fucking pizza I order from this place?" And you're just beating someone's ass. And well, they're like, "Sir, I'm just an intern. I can't do anything about your credit."
That raises the question, though. Like, okay, so you know the old adage, if you owe a bank $1,000, that's your problem. But if you owe the bank $1 million, that's the bank's problem, right?
Sure.
What if you were to take out so many of these short-term pizza loans that you became so leveraged in pizza that the financial institution that is backing these pizza loans actually goes under, and then you're able to buy up your pizza debt for pennies, and it actually becomes cheaper to default on your pizza debt and then use other capital to buy up the pizza debt and then forgive yourself for your pizza debt.
Mm. So instead of establishing market share by running in the red for years as a capitalist enterprise, you just do it as a consumer, and you're like, you're trying to underflow glitch the entire pizza economy.
Yes.
Yeah. Or what if you get like enough people to sort of team up under one identity and do that? And then suddenly like the biggest debt instrument in the country is the unpaid Domino's pizza debt of this conglomerate. And then the US government has no choice but to bail you out for all the money that you didn't spend on pizza. So you eat free for years, and then also you get thousands of dollars back from the government to make yourself whole.
But we need more exploits to make this work. So something we talked about a long time ago by now was that pizza place that realized that Uber Eats had duplicitously put them on, and that they could order their own pizza to their own address and just make money every single time they put in an order because Uber was covering the difference to lower the price. And you just need to find enough instances like that and don't order any pizzas so they don't get patched, and accumulate a reservoir until you have enough that you can create a critical pizza instance, a pizza event in the economy, if you will, that will make 2008 look a daily dip in the NASDAQ.
Yeah. Subprime pizza loans. No, this begs the question. It's like, could you, if hyperinflation gets so bad that like the dollar is more inflated by the end of the week than it is at the beginning of the week, could you basically do currency arbitrage by spending fiat currency, US dollars, on a pizza on credit, right? You're basically trading pizza on margin. You're like, okay, I want to buy this pizza on margin, freeze it, and then you go sell that pizza on the street as a street vendor. Because the pizza holds its value better than US dollars, better than fiat currency, you're just arbitraging the US dollar using the real world asset of pizza.
Okay, but at the same time, you have to hedge your bets, right? You need to make sure that this is operating on all cylinders. So you're also developing with your pizza throughput capital. You're taking a segment of that and you're allocating it to a Reddit campaign run by a series of bots artificially inflating the r pepperoni stocks subreddit so that you can bubble and subsequently crash the value of all of the different pizza, you know, Little Caesars, Papa John's, Domino's, coincide with the pizza day of reckoning you're producing on the consumer end.
Yeah, that makes sense.
John's onto something, because the only flaw in Todd's plan, I think, it's otherwise completely foolproof and would work, is that you said freeze your pizza and then sell it on the street a week later. I don't know if it's really like a seller's market for like, get your week old frozen and reheated Domino's here, frozen Domino's, but
yeah, you would have
also pepperoni stocks. If you got pepperoni stocks going on Reddit and people are like, ooh, street Domino's, that's like so hot right now, I got to invest in that and then flip it later.
Well, you just do what the major pizza companies do anyway, which is like you got your higher tier, right? These are the pizzas that you just finessed out of the system today.
Yeah.
Those go out on the street immediately and you sell them at like boutique pizza cart, hipster fucking San Francisco prices, you know, and then anything that's been frozen for a week and then reheated, that goes to your school cafeteria contracts. Fucking, you know, you got to diversify just a little bit if you want to single-handedly take down the entire pizza market.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And then you get to a point where you have to arbitrage the pizza between different regions of the country. So you get into a Smokey and the Bandit, but with pizza type situation where you're trucking a bunch of New York pizza to the Pacific Northwest because they don't know how to make good pizza there.
Yeah, just you have a truck and in the back there's just like 4,000 individually linked large pepperoni sausages on their way to a production facility and you're like, this is it. Like I got 92 bitcoins worth of pepperoni in the back right now. You would not believe.
92 bitcoins worth of pepperoni. That's a lot of fucking pepperoni.
It's probably all the pepperoni in the world.
Yeah, isn't one bitcoin like 20 grand currently?
60 grand.
60 grand? Wow.
It's 60 grand, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Just for a really single crazy coin? I think they should mint that fucking treasury coin or whatever the MMT freaks are always on about, and then nobody will be impressed by how big a Bitcoin is anymore, because there's one fucking piece of silver worth like a half a trill.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, okay, so if they mint a $1 trillion coin, can I then put together a team to steal that coin, Ocean's 11 / the Italian Job style?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're basically asking you to, right? Like, that's the new lottery, is you just try to heist the Federal Reserve.
stealing the $1 trillion coin and then getting immediately busted because I brought it to 7-Eleven and was like, one Slurpee, please.
Yeah.
Can I get the change in small bills?
I would do that.
Yeah. All the lottery tickets you have and a few hot dogs, and I'll just have one Slurpee today. I'm not feeling too outrageous.
just nestling it into the palm of the 7-Eleven employee, and you're like, wrap your fingers tight around this, take a look, and don't tell anyone. I'm good here forever, right?
Yeah. Any 7-Eleven, you tell them, man. You know me. I've been coming here for like 2 weeks now. Tell everyone at the other 7-Elevens to hook me up with Slurpees for life.
I do love the idea of getting a big score from like a heist or just some sort of like, you know, windfall and then just spending it on exactly what you spend your money on before, but you're just like, yeah, no, I'm not working for this anymore. Like, no lifestyle change whatsoever. You live the exact same way, but now you just don't have to work anymore. That's the dream.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in many ways, yeah. I've always wondered, like, what the obsession with excessive wealth is, because I'm like, if I had my own house and I didn't have to worry about, like, having a financial disaster if my car broke down, I'd be in great shape. I'd have basically everything I need in life. But, like, those things are just those two, like, you know, keystones of having a stable life and healthcare, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, that is like the American dream, isn't it? It's like you win it big. That's why I think so many people are like, you know, my dad is like, I'm going to invent a perpetual motion machine.
Is he still on that? Has he made any progress since the last time we talked about that?
He hasn't, but he's counting down the days until his retirement. He's within 3 years.
Nice.
And he is counting it down by the day. And I expect that on the day of his retirement, he will achieve some kind of major breakthrough that will poetically make his entire life working for the man totally irrelevant.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because if he had just had a day off, he could have invented this thing already. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. See, I'm trying to do what your dad is doing, but with Samoyed coin. I'm trying to get that back. Why would you invent perpetual motion?
We're gonna short sell. We're gonna diamond hand. We're gonna buy the dip. We're gonna sell the peak. We're gonna fucking we're gonna get in there and
you never sell.
Yeah. I mean, if you buy the dip, I'll buy the chips.
That's the thing. You never lose money if you never.
You
sell.
You always sell. If you buy, you're already too late. You should have sold. If you don't have any and you can't sell, get some. And as soon as you have it, sell it. Let me tell you, that's how crypto works. I'm 99% sure.
Hell yeah.
More or less.
Diamond hands. I'm like, how about fucking look mom, no hands.
Yeah, just completely hands off.
I'm not even touching it. I'm not going near the crypto in any way.
Oh, no. But well, as long as we're talking about extremely cringe things, like trying to turn money into more money, I want to bring up this Romney and Sinema photo that just hit the internet today. This thing's fresh. This thing's
is this
only 3 hours
old. Is this NSFW?
No.
Depends
it
where you work, possibly.
It looks like it's leading towards something NSFW.
Yeah.
I know everybody was like slapping the Brazzers logo on this photo, which is funny. Don't get me wrong. But when I saw the mustache and the like pink walls of the room, I just thought like Wes Anderson. Am I wrong? Mm. Is this not a scene from like the Royal Tenenbaums porn parody?
Is it perfectly symmetrical?
It's definitely, yeah, like pink and mustache and weird like sort of tweeness. That's definitely Wes Anderson vibes.
Yeah,
tweeness. He's showing his tweeness.
Which Wilson brother is that supposed to be there with the mustache?
Oh, Kristen, I love your work. You know, you're not doing a minimum wage. I think that's great. I think people should work harder. Yeah, it's great.
So they're gutting the bill. And so basically exactly what we predicted would happen is going to happen. They're compromising on everything that would actually make any material change in the lives of the working class. And they're ramming through like subsidies for all the industries that are already making money hand over fist and denying people their basic needs.
I mean, yes, but also like, is it really a compromise if almost nobody involved, like a negligible percent of the people involved, were ever going to make a good faith effort to get that shit done anyway? Like, I don't know. Like, everybody's like trying to argue, like, is Kristen Sinema really even a Democrat? She's so well liked by the Republicans. It's like, yeah, they're the same.
it's such an unfortunate coincidence that the Democrats just, there were these two Democrats that just happened to go against this legislation. And they that's exactly the number they need to not get the legislation through. It's such a coincidence and not at all the way the system is exactly designed to work.
Wait a minute. I think the Democrats might be signaling something to us. Look at the names. Put on your tinfoil hat for a second and look at the names. Manchin and Sinema. They're bringing back the Tick. I'm calling it right now.
it's about the new Buzz Lightyear movie. It's about the new adult, edgy Buzz Lightyear movie, because he got the big man chin and it's on the cinema.
Does he even have a chin? He looks like one of those like weird breakdancing egg guys. You know what the ones I'm talking about. in that
no, I don't.
Promo?
I don't.
You've never seen the egg? Weird breakdancing egg guys, and like some of them are like toughs, and they like harass the other guys, and then they like dance it out, and it's like
this
it's
sounds
really
awesome. I'm in, but it's I don't fucking, think I've seen
no, I don't know.
Or maybe they're beans. There's something.
maybe they're beans. Beans? beans or eggs. Yeah.
It turns out John was thinking of Humpty Dumpty, and he got right. really high when he read that as a child and got it mixed up. Yeah, he kind of the new Buzz Lightyear just has like a little. He has like a butt chin, but it's just like a little dot in the middle of his chin. It's kind of a weird choice.
Yeah, it is a weird choice.
Oh, they're making a Buzz Lightyear movie?
Yeah, I watched the trailer for it and it just felt like somebody's viral tweet come to life because it's like
sure, yeah.
adult sort of Buzz Lightyear with slowed down Starman by David Bowie playing.
Oh, God.
And then someone is says really? To infinity. It's literally what the trailer is like. Like, I just felt like I was watching somebody's fever dream tweet come to life.
Why can't anybody make anything that's just new IP? Like, that's the real reason Squid Game was so fucking popular. Is because mm-hmm. it's not fucking based on something.
Yeah, just a new thing.
Well, it's just based on capitalism. But yes, it's an original observation of
yeah,
the
maybe
world.
The, maybe capitalism was the real most dangerous game.
Yeah, well, I mean, they'll make a fucking movie about anything but capitalism. Am I right, folks? Buzz Lightyear? Mm-hmm. More like Buzz primitive accumulation of productive forces. Am I right?
Am I right? Oh, man, this open mic is not going well. You guys are getting a great crowd, though. Thanks for not murdering me. Only have 20 minutes left.
I mean, we don't really need any like more Toy Story, right? Like, I think all the Toy Stories have been told.
Yeah. Toy Story 4 was surprisingly good, but like, we don't need a different take on Buzz Lightyear than we already have in the movies.
Right. Here's my thing. How much money is Chet Hanks going to receive from this Buzz Lightyear movie? Mm-hmm. However circuitously, via Tom Hanks, obviously, mm-hmm. but like, what percentage of the Buzz Lightyear movie's profits are going to end up Chet Hanks walking around money? That's my
good question. Well, so
I like that.
In this one, Buzz Lightyear is being played by Chris Evans, but I have a feeling that like Tom Hanks and like Tim Allen and stuff will be, you know, executive producers, put a little money into it. If it does well, probably they'll make money. So, you know, maybe $1,000 goes to Chet Hanks, $2,000.
The billionaire pedophile cabal's got to have its hands on this movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this Chris Evans guy, he's a superhero guy, right? That's what
he's
famous
America.
For.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the worst one. Oh, my God.
is Captain America really the worst one? They're
no,
all
Batman.
Very bad.
I mean, here's... Yeah. Okay, wait.
Iron Man in the MCU, I'd say.
If we want to think about this in a dialectical way.
Oh boy. I mean,
Captain America is the repressive state apparatus.
Okay.
And Batman is the ideological state apparatus, right?
Mm, okay.
Batman's your Coca-Cola, right? And Superman, that's your like just straight up jackbooted military.
Superman or Captain America. I think you're getting wires crossed cuz isn't one of those DC and the other one Marvel?
It does not matter. I don't
know. I mean, without Bryn here to bring the comic book knowledge, like I'm just saying I don't care either, but yeah.
I mean, to me, all comics take place in the same universe. You got Death Note, Captain America, Archie, and Kirby. Those are all the same world. 100%.
That's right. And Initial D Pokemon.
Initial D
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and also
Rocko's
those all fit
Modern
into
Life.
Those are all on some timeline of the Viewisk universe, the universe from Clerks and all the other Kevin Smith movies.
That's right, yeah.
Some of them are just far in the future.
The Kevin Smoothiverse.
He has gotten smooth because he lost so much weight. He's not a round boy anymore.
And what's the deal with it being a galaxy long, long ago in a far, far away? What's the deal with that?
I mean, he's just like one of the most smooth brained media producers I think is out there. I think he's like a proper smooth brain genius. Like,
in a way, yeah. Kevin Smith is a guy who, like, he's like a real old school, like, Gen X nerd who just, like, genuinely worships at the altar of, like, nerd pop culture, like Star mm-hmm. Wars and comic books and stuff. Like, he really loves it and thinks it's awesome.
I bet he still goes to Comic-Con.
Oh,
how many
sure.
Funko Pops do you think he has?
The man named his daughter Harley Quinn, like after the Joker's girlfriend.
That rules.
Oh, that is the worst shit I've
ever
heard.
Wait, wait, like Harley Quinn on the birth certificate or Harleen Quinzel and then like calls her Harley?
I don't actually know. I think her name is just like Harley Quinn Smith. Like her name is just like from the Joker.
Oh, man. That's, you gotta, that's I mean, true. You have your kids taken away if you do that.
I like to think there's a biker out there who really loves reggae, who named his son Bob Harley.
Okay, I see where you're coming
from. I would love
to
meet that guy.
I mean,
imagine
it's
if he was
same
like your
brain,
doctor
right?
too. Like you're at the hospital and it's like, "Hi, I'm Dr. Harley. I'm your doctor." And you're like, "Wait, B Harley? What's your first name?" And he's like, "Well, it's Robert. You know, my friends yeah. call me Bob."
It's not like a new observation, but after all of the kids who were named Khaleesi after Game of Thrones, everyone's mm-hmm. asking like, how many little boys are going to be running around named Kwisatz Haderach after this Dune bullshit? Like,
oh,
these are my sons, Jalen, Brayden, and Kwisatz.
I've not seen Dune yet. I'm waiting
for
the theater.
I haven't seen it either.
It's really good. Good. Don't bother with the theater. Hook up your biggest speakers and turn a bunch of lights down and drag your biggest screen into your biggest room. Don't give AMC your fucking money. Ghouls. Ghouls charging those prices for snacks.
No, I do give AMC your fucking money because every ticket you buy to an AMC movie pumps my AMC stock.
Oh, you're still holding the stock?
Oh,
still
no.
Going up?
It's diamond hands, baby. We don't sell.
Yeah. So you're holding it forever, like for the long, like till it's 10,000 a share or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, that one penny that I invested into Nintendo in 1986 is really paying dividends today.
I wonder how much that would be worth. Probably like $30 or something, $20.
Yeah. Not to drag us back into like stupid finance talk, but I do love how like when you hold an asset and you know, you are that asset is subject to fluctuation in value. They call it being exposed to that asset. It's like, I want more exposure to this asset. I just think that's very funny.
It's a weird term. It's like you're sunbathing or something.
The weird like financial commodification of everything is like, it's been heightened to the point where we're literally just like, here's a fucking drawing I made that got 400 likes on Twitter. Do you want to buy it as an NFT for $9? And it makes me wonder like, what's the next phase? Like, is it going to be like...
Well, the next phase is utility NFTs. The next phase is NFTs that actually do something. Like, this mm-hmm. whole, like, this is just, like, stupid money speculation, tax laundering, or money laundering, like, tax fraud, tax evasion, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what art... But the technology will probably eventually be used to do some things that actually do something. Like, you'll be able to have, like, your medical records as an NFT, or you'll be able to have, and there will probably be things that it does that are actually good for humanity rather than just trading pictures of apes or kittens or puppies.
Yeah, I can't wait to swipe my phone over the jukebox at a bar to donate one NFT to decide that the next song will be the 14-minute live version of Lynyrd Skynyrd's epic opus, Freebird.
That's right.
Yeah, it's that comic, oh no, he's going for the jukebox, but you're not wearing a band shirt, you're just wearing a Phantom and Ethereum shirt. And they're like, he's got more coin than any of us. He can control the whole playlist for the whole night.
It's the guy going for the jukebox, but he's wearing a BB Bledis shirt.
Yeah, and everyone's cheering. They're like, yes, play the podcast.
Yes.
Wait, I wonder if I just realized, because I've been to bars sometimes where that like the jukebox is basically like a big machine that plays Spotify. Uh-huh. So what if you were like, $3, let's play episode 100 of BB Bledis. Could you just like play
know.
A whole podcast episode?
I think
episode?
Maybe you can't play something that's super long.
Probably.
They might have a filter, but I think a lot of the time they have to manually filter stuff out. So like one dude gets away with putting Dope Smoker on.
Yeah.
And the bartender's like, never again. Yeah. You have to play individual cuts from that weird fucked up release where they cut it into individual songs and it didn't make any sense.
But as with everything, money talks. So if you have enough money, you can still put on whatever you want, right?
Right.
If you have enough money, you don't have to follow the law. If you have enough money, you can like bend the world to your whim. So if you have enough money, like, you could just put on an entire Sun O record and everybody has to listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, you could just buy the bar if you have enough money, right? Like,
we should buy a bar.
We should buy a bar. The gang buys a bar.
That's right.
The podcast just becomes like an 8 hour long ramble where we're just like behind the bar serving people drinks and
oh
then
my
having
God.
A conversation
Can you
in between.
Bar
podcasting in a bar?
Well, I mean, okay, wait. Have you guys seen that YouTube channel where that guy, he used to be like a tech bro or whatever, and he took his life savings and he bought a fucking ghost town?
Yeah, that shit's sick.
Now he's been living in it and he like he went and opened the fucking bank vault and he tore out all the old ATMs and shit. And
he found an old pair of Levi's that are worth like $100,000 for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, that's what you should do arbitrage in. Instead of buying pizzas on credit for 6 weeks, you should just trade old Levi's. You should put your money into Levi's.
I took my Ethereum to the bank and tried to buy a ghost town, and they looked at me like I was trying to short sell Sheepcoin.
No. The only cryptocurrency that you can buy a ghost town in is Phantom.
Hey.
There you go.
When are they going to make fucking... all the undead coins, ghoul coin, you know what?
That's what I find really funny about Phantom is like all the tokens that are based on Phantom are like spooky ghost names. all of the shit coins on like Ethereum are dog based shit coins, mm-hmm. right? You have Doge, Shiba, Samoyed, stuff like that. But all of the Phantom shit coins are like spooky ghoul reaper. Like just different names for ghosts and shit like that. It mm-hmm. rules.
Yeah, because finance is pathology, and there are two kinds of crypto nerds: furries and need me a big titty goth coin.
Look, everyone made fun of Jay-Z's verse on Monster, where he just lists different kinds of monsters, but he wasn't saying monsters. He was predicting different kinds of coins that would exist: a goblin coin, a zombie coin, zombie with no conscience coin, I'm a motherfucking monster coin. These are all coins that were going to come to be because Jay-Z is on that Sigma billionaire grind set, but like no one was on that wavelength back
then.
Yeah,
no one man should have all that Shiba.
He's the crypto oracle of Delphi.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be sick. I think it's going to be sick when like the U.S. Treasury Secretary is like, we have invested, the U.S. Treasury has increased our Dogecoin reserves in preparation for the upcoming alt season.
Yeah, it's a bummer that there's like hasn't really been a cyberpunk story like dumb enough to predict the world of the 2020s. You know, it's like the basics of extreme corporate power, advanced technology that still doesn't help people actually like live a stable material life. But like no one really predicted like just how stupid it would be, that there would be all these coins named after dumb shit and people would be trading pictures of apes that you wouldn't pay a penny for of real currency.
I feel like the people who, in terms of like science fiction, I guess the recent release of Dune has everybody's mind on like the timeline of science fiction, mm-hmm. and how looking towards the future has always been kind of portrayed in media through various eras. And it's kind of weird because I feel like the only authors or producers who really did kind of have an inkling of not just how bad, but how bad in such stupid ways things mm-hmm. were going to get.
Oh,
the only
absolutely.
Ones I can think of are like Kurt Vonnegut and Terry, what's his nuts, from Monty Python, who made like Brazil mm-hmm. and Tideland and stuff like
Brazil
that.
Brazil is, also it's got, pretty accurate.
Verhoeven did a pretty good job predicting sure. the future.
Sure,
over yeah, yeah. RoboCop is very weird to watch now.
We live in RoboCop.
Yeah,
yeah.
RoboCop is hilarious because some parts of it just feel like quaint because it's like they do the news and they're like, what if the news is really crazy in the future? But it's like it still feels like the news from the 80s. So they're welcome to the 5 o'clock news. There's rioting in South Africa as white forces refuse to give up the capital and threaten to use a nuclear bomb. Also in Detroit, they have a RoboCop. But it's like, they talk like newscasters and they're not screaming like Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson or something.
Yeah, the only thing they got wrong is that it should have been like a bunch of like white women in the Facebook Reels tab in a video and like they tell you the news and then they make spaghetti on the counter for some reason.
But what I really love in Starship Troopers is the news panel show. Where mm-hmm. One of them is like, one of the guys is like, a bug that thinks inconceivable. He's like puffing up his cheeks and like making a funny face, like uh-huh. like Tucker Carlson or something.
yeah.
They really got that right.
Yeah, that's true. That movie captures the like, that like advanced fascism would just become this like absurd farce. Like everyone is just like acting really goofy all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of that stuff did get started on like talk radio. Back in, mm-hmm. I think, like the 70s and 80s. So there were like germs of this happening. And I don't know, politics was a little bit more like lived. Like, mm-hmm. you know, politics like interjected and interrupted people's lives a lot more regularly and less dramatically. Yeah,
it never does that these days. You know, politics has no, you know, never has any effect on our lives these days.
Well, it does, but like you're insulated from it. Like everything is like everything that you experience in your day-to-day life that is an outpouring of what's happening politically is like circuitous, and it takes a really fucking long time. Like there used to just be like fucking, I don't know. The point I'm trying to make is actually probably not that great, because I'm like, there used to be Roman gangs of fascists. And I'm like, wait a minute. We have more of those now than ever.
We employ them. They're unionized.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like what you're saying, John, is sort of that like back then it was like politics was sometimes sort of like mediated as the spectacle if you went to certain places like talk radio or right. like 24 hours.
Oh, so you're
hour
saying
news
that's been entirely replaced with just culture war.
Well, it's
like
not even
Twitter
just culture
and
war.
Facebook
it's like
and TikTok and Instagram and
yeah, it's these tight little feedback loops of online life that like further kind of like bisect everything into these neat little categories. Like it
the
used to be,
like, just gotten like really, really efficient, but also decentralized.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, it's gotten efficient, but it's also I think people are culturally hitting a wall. Right, where it's like, even if you're really sad, maybe if you're like a fucking Tumblr super hulock nerd and you really can just like meditate on one cringy ass piece of pop culture for the rest of your life, you'll never notice this. But I think most people are kind of getting to the point where they're like, okay, like I like what's in my feed, but it's all the same shit that it's been for close mm-hmm. to 10 years now, at least five.
Oh, we're deep in the monoculture.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even like a monoculture. It's like a, it's an incredible polyculture, but it's like a very tightly organized, like there's the barriers are not very permeable. It's
and don't
like,
even get me started on the culture of being poly. That's even worse.
I wouldn't touch that with a 1,000-foot pole.
Wouldn't touch that with my wife's boyfriend's 10-inch dick.
But yeah, there's sort of like a tightening spiral of algorithmic repetition in how people experience like online spaces. I feel like it's like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, like form this sort of like algorithmic concept of like what you're into based on who you follow and who you interact with, and then just keep feeding you more and more of that stuff. And it's like, it almost feels like they're running out of it, and they're just like, here's more of the stuff that we know you like, and here's more of like the stuff we know you interact with, however like unhappy it makes you feel.
What you need to do is become in like very intuitively in tune with the algorithm, but not in a way that like, oh, I understand code, I can figure out this algorithm. It has to be like, oh, no, I don't understand code at all. I just know exactly in my gut how this algorithm works and how to exploit it and manipulate it. Sort of like a technomancer, but that like it works solely on instinct with absolutely no actual practical knowledge of the technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, like when I was like 12 and I opened up the family computer in boot mode and started messing with the BIOS and damaged it irreparably.
Hell yeah.
That's how you gotta be.
Overclocking the like 2004 like Pentium, like the beige tower that basically has like 256 megabytes of hard drive space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's something to be said for the fact that we have to recognize that you can't just run away from technology. Like, however it exists now, you have to get good at that. That is, it's ugly, it's horrible, and it's part of the way that, like, the modern world is shitty, but it's kind of required. And then if you get good enough at it, eventually you can kind of make things a little different. But I'm, you know, you could be the world's most skilled fucking, you could be in the deepest, darkest corners of all the social media websites. You still wouldn't be making any real fucking difference. You'd just be getting those incredibly coveted shadow likes.
That's what I'm talking about. You just get really good at the algorithm just to post better memes. You know, there's no real reason to do it.
No, I mean, I think that everybody's like talked about, they're like, we should just nationalize the social media services. And I'm like, I don't know, under capitalism, aren't they already basically fucking nationalized?
Well, not exactly. I think that raises a really good point, because what you see right now, especially with, you know, senators trying to, or Congress trying to go after Facebook, because they're saying, it's Facebook was the tool that was used to organize the January 6th insurrection. It's like, yeah, the people who like made a Facebook event and like were like, let's go, you know, take selfies in Nancy Pelosi's office. It's like, mm-hmm. what the government is doing right now is panicking because they've recognized that Silicon Valley tech companies, big giant tech conglomerates, they are bigger than the state, or at least mm-hmm. they're rapidly approaching a point where they will have more power than the state. And the state recognizes that and is terrified of that. So what the only recourse that they have is to go after these firms on legal grounds, which doesn't work because the firms have enough power to dictate legislation, but also it doesn't work because, like, how do you hold them accountable when they're your back end? How do you hold Amazon accountable for anything when it's their servers that your entire Pentagon is running on? How do you, like, so what you're going to see is the state fighting this losing battle against these giant corporations and becoming increasingly desperate and trying anything until finally you see total integration between the state and Silicon Valley, basically.
Yeah, but not in a cool way like you would mm-hmm. want.
Yeah,
not in a cool way, because there's no cool way for that to happen. There's no cool way for the state to also be like there's no cool way for like Joe Biden to just hand over the reins to like Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg.
No. All of those people have to be eliminated, and all that shit has to be stolen from them in order for it to be wielded properly. But that's like the thing. Like, what am I gonna fucking do? Eventually, these websites are going to become completely unusable. Like, even just the moderate, like, actual use value that I'm getting out of them is just going to go down to completely nil. And I'm going to have to learn Mandarin and make a WeChat account if I want to have a fucking hope or a prayer of, like, having a real conversation with anybody.
So that I think is, like, you know, we make fun of NFTs because it's like, yeah, they're pictures of gorillas and mm-hmm. Dogs and stuff. But that, I think, could actually be a use case for NFTs, because like I've seen it done. You could make an NFT based message service where only you with your private key has access to read the messages. So someday when the government does want it to, you know, an authoritarian clampdown even harder than they already do, and they want to read your messages and make sure you're not fomenting insurrection or whatever, you could use an NFT to message your buddy about, hey man, can I buy a couple of ounces of weed or something? And so then only he with his private key.
Explain this to me like I'm a dumb white guy from the Midwest. So you're telling me this blockchain shit is basically like the wellspring of technological magic, and the evil wizards have already figured out how to use it. They're really good at it. But there is an underdeveloped good magic that can be sussed out of this if the right wizards come along.
But the other thing is, in order to get good at you have to be a wizard, right? Like, you actually have to put on your robe and wizard hat and dive into the ring and do it.
I don't want to have to do that.
You have to.
It takes so much time out of your day. I mean, when I first heard about what blockchain was, my mind immediately was attracted to the idea that it can function as a decentralized auditing system. Mm-hmm. But I've had multiple extremely large-brained crypto nerds explain to me why it can't really be used for voting or doing referendums. And I still am not convinced. I feel like it really could be. Like, if you wanted to have like a municipal referendum on like whether or not they should raise wages for the garbage workers or whatever.
The only way that you could really do that is like having some biometric authentication system where it's like your private key is somehow tied to your physical corporeal existence. And Bill Gates actually filed a patent for that, which is like a cryptocurrency that is mined based on your own biometrics.
But here's the
thing.
Which
should terrify you.
That is terrifying, but here's the thing. We already verify people's identity not based on their physical existence in the first place. It's pieces of paper.
Sure, yeah.
They're not even allowed to be laminated in some cases.
But the reason that works is...
My fucking signature? Like, that's not anything.
The reason that works is consensus.
Yeah.
the reason that that works is consensus.
Yeah, so we need to develop a new consensus about what's a secure system, because it's not like identity fraud isn't already an existing thing that people are always talking about. And then we're like, oh, we can't use a new system because it'd be prone to fraud. It's like every system is prone to fraud, you fucking idiot. Just because it's not a computer doesn't mean it can't be hacked. Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
You have to disincentivize fraud if you want to actually stop fraud in your system.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Disincentivize fraud, exactly.
You have to make people not desperate for anything anymore.
So maybe blockchain isn't the answer. Maybe like just giving them places to live and money.
Yeah, housing answer. Chain and free food chain and weed chain, maybe.
Bitcoin solves this.
No.
I will not be elaborating.
Yeah. I just got my new house chain on the Ethereum. Yeah, it's an NFT, but it's like made of wood and you can sleep in it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you will own nothing but NFTs and you'll be happy.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how fungible it is, but honestly, I don't even mind.
Yeah. Well, it's like once you get the house, like to start, it's fungible. It's like the same as all the other houses on the block, but then you're allowed to kind of like scratch whatever random symbol you want onto the foundation, like in the cement, and then it's not fungible because like no one else knows what you wrote, so they can't copy it exactly.
I still don't know what it means to funge something, or what is and isn't fungible.
I guess it's a verb. I don't know. I think it just means to be like reproduced exactly, like to make a copy of it.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, then that doesn't make any sense because I mean, like this is not a new joke, but like right click, save as.
Yeah, did you see I saw a screenshot of somebody who was like, check out this dope NFT I just bought on this marketplace. And somebody starts replying, just copying a screenshot of that NFT over and over. Mm-hmm. And so the person who bought the NFT at the exchange that they bought it on, and is like, do something about this.
Yeah, I think I saw that one. I mean, can't multiple people buy the same monkey? It's like, they clearly are funging it. I guess the idea is that it's like your token that says you own that monkey JPEG is different from someone else's, so that one's not fungible. But it's
so
like,
it's just a fucking line of code. It's just
just a number, as far as I know.
Right-click save as is rookie shit. The trick is to just make another blockchain of just all the same monkeys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just draw the monkeys from memory, and I'm a millionaire already.
Used to be, you get the monkeys in the room, you put, look, back in Maryland, the union guys get the monkeys in the room, they type on the typewriters all day. Nowadays, the typewriters type in the monkeys.
That's why the NFTs are all fucking monkeys, is because it's an idea that monkeys on typewriters would eventually spit out after like 1,000 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
Like art that's not real, mostly monkeys. And you're like, all right, we got to work with
mostly monkeys.
Mostly monkeys.
That's mostly pictures. That's the best way to describe NFTs. Just like, it's mostly pictures of monkeys.
Yeah, there's like the classic Michael Pollan quote where he's like, here's the best food advice is eat food, not too much, mostly plants. NFTs are like, consume art, not too good, mostly monkeys.
Yeah.
it's like how every organism will eventually evolve into a crab or crab-like creature.
Yeah,
it's like every blockchain will eventually spawn a type of picture of monkeys.
Yeah, everybody, you guys want to hear my new four-word short story? Monkey NFT, never worn.
Never funged. Never funged.
Never funged.
Never funged. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, to me, funging just sounds like when you squeeze a sponge and all the excess water comes out of it.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funky.
That's
because you haven't washed the dishes in a week. Yeah. It's like really, really gross.
You funge the sponge.
Yeah. I was gonna say funge is maybe like when you it's like the stuff left over if you're trying to clean out the mouthpiece of your bong and you can't quite get it all out with your tool.
My bong's full of funge.
It's full of funge, guys. Sorry, I need a new one. I need some of that like acid cleaner stuff.
So the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is, we mentioned this on the last on the bonus episode, I think, but the gun incident that happened on set involving Alec Baldwin and his production related negligence. And this person at Deb Drenz just posted kind of a best of three different articles about the armorer that was working on set. And I just want to read them to you real quick. It says the rookie armorer in charge of weapons when Alec Baldwin accidentally shot dead his cinematographer on the set of his film Rust said on a recent podcast that the best part of her job is proving how safe guns are. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, a 24-year-old former model, told the Voices of the West podcast last month about landing the pretty sweet gig with her first movie as head armorer in August. Quote, I think the best part about my job is just showing people who are normally kind of freaked out by guns how safe they can be and how they're not really problematic unless put in the wrong hands. She said her dad, well-known Hollywood armorer Thel Reed, gave her some direction growing up, but she, quote, figured out most of the job requirements, quote, on my own.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Wow. So she's self-taught. And the next quote here is Stu Brumbaugh, the key grip on The Old Way, told CNN that Gutierrez handled guns on the set of that project in a reckless manner and that he urged the film's assistant director to fire her. There's a universal way to handle weapons on set, and immediately red flags went up when I worked with Hannah. This is why I asked for her dismissal. Brumbaugh cited an incident in which Gutierrez fired a gun near the film star Nicolas Cage without warning. And Cage screamed in response, make an announcement. You just blew my fucking eardrums out, and then walked off set angrily. And then the other excerpt says she walked out onto the set with live rounds with no announcement whatsoever to the cast and crew by her. She never announced to anyone that she was walking on the set carrying firearms loaded with blanks with her. She didn't carry the firearms safely. She had pistols tucked under her armpits and was carrying rifles in each hand that were ready to be used in the scene. Firearms were aimed at people. She turned around and the pistols that were tucked under her armpits were pointing back at people.
Unbelievable.
Under her armpits?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Like, this is fucking insane.
But the thing is, the incompetence of this girl aside, the fact that she's a nepotism hire, like her dad got her the job aside, like she should absolutely be held accountable because she's indirectly responsible for the death of this woman. But also, like, Alec Baldwin, like, also should be held accountable.
Utterly because, responsible. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because he the least, it is the fucking bare goddamn minimum. If you are handling a firearm, to know how to handle a firearm safely. Yes. So neither this armor nor Alec Baldwin knew how to handle a firearm safely. And he's a millionaire actor. Like, he's on set. It is his job to handle a firearm safely. And yeah, he was negligent at that job, and he fucking killed someone.
Yeah.
He should be held fucking accountable.
Well, and I mean, it's even more so than him as, like, the person who fired the gun. Like, he's a producer on the show. Like, he contributed to all of the conditions.
It's a show or a movie?
Or whatever, the movie. It doesn't
matter. I
can't
wait to see it. It's going to be awesome.
It's going
to
be terrible.
Is it going to fucking come out? Yeah. Like, I'm wondering if they're going to stop making it.
It's like, no, it's like Ben-Hur, where a guy died underneath a chariot while they were filming, but they still released it.
But I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, six camera people walked off of this set 6 hours before this incident protesting unsafe conditions. And, like, that was partially in response to the fact that hours before, Alec Baldwin's stunt double had accidentally discharged two live rounds on set.
What? Why were there live rounds on set to begin with?
Well, it's a Western, so you have to imagine they are probably doing some range shooting and stuff where it's better to have, you know, the actual bullet hit the actual thing. I don't know.
It's a Western, so they wanted to method act being in danger.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, it's produced by Alec Baldwin. So it's probably just like the most poorly put together thing in existence. This is a man who got popular basically just playing himself, a fictionalized version of his own dumb ass.
The funniest thing about it is Trump does these long form screeds where he, like, because he can't tweet anymore. So he just, I think he emails them out or he releases the statement somehow.
He has like a
on
press
his website,
person,
something like
that.
But he was basically like, Alec Baldwin used to say used to do an impression of me on SNL, and he made fun of me for saying I could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. Well, Alec Baldwin, first off, his impression of me was really bad, and also he shot somebody. I never shot somebody. Like, incredible.
Yeah, how do you fuck up so bad that, like, Donald Trump can take the moral high ground? Like, what situation can Donald Trump be like, you know, I actually did a much better job of not doing that than you did.
I don't know. They fucking deserve each other. Like,
yeah, seriously.
I hope they fucking shoot each other. Like, that would be the most poetic end to it all. And then I don't have to read these fucking dispatches from the desk of, you know, President banned from Twitter. Like, what a fucking... That's worse than him being on Twitter. It's worse.
Is it? Is
it drives me further up the wall.
So then we think we should let him back on Twitter.
I don't care.
I think it would be very funny.
Yeah, this whole fucking story is so absurd. Like, it's like this person who is a 24-year-old with no experience is, like, definitely responsible. But I feel like more responsible is the people who, like, let her keep working after making any mistakes. Because there's plenty of jobs where you can make a mistake. Like, you work at Subway. You work at a convenience store, like, make 100 mistakes. People are going to be fine.
Right.
If you are the head armorer of a movie working with live guns, no mistakes. That shouldn't be a job you do with no experience.
She literally had one job.
Yeah.
She had one job.
To not carry guns in her armpits. And she did that.
Oh, no. I mean, she had one job, meaning like she had no experience. Yeah. She had only had one job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and she was just like showing up and treating being the armorer like I'm the person who carries around the guns. Like, it's not that. It's inspections.
That's such a cool job.
It's safety, like, management. It's fucking cataloging all of the guns and ammunition. It's a lot of logistical work. And, like, you should be running around and doing more shit than almost anybody else on set to make sure that everything is fucking perfect. Because, like, nobody's gonna die if a grip walks into the scene. Nobody's gonna die if a boom mic conks them in the head. But, like, these are guns. Like, they're real guns.
I would have done a better job. I'd be, like, showing everybody the guns. I'd be like, you know, check out this cool ass gun, but I would be doing it safely. Yeah.
I don't know anything about guns, and I feel like I could have done a better job. Like, I would have desperately been looking on YouTube, like, how to know if a gun has a blank in it, how to check for loaded gun, where to point guns. I would have written it all down in my hand.
Right down the barrel. Just look down the barrel.
I'd be doing that to keep the actor safe. So I might have died, but, like, no one else would have.
I'm also a little disappointed to learn that an armorer is not just someone who picks out suits of armor on set.
They probably used to be.
I think that would be really good for that job.
Like Q from James Bond. It's like, I have a new suit of armor that goes, that it's Spanx, but it's also bulletproof.
That'd be great if Q was just like a return to tradition, like, Western guy. And so he was like, Mr. Bond, I have a suit of armor for you that the Saxons wore in the 15th century. It's much better than those silly bulletproof vests. And then James Bond is just like walking around slowly and getting murdered in a not bulletproof suit of armor.
Like trying to swing a broadsword and falling over.
Yeah.
Like,
that's right.
Yeah, he thinks it's a gun, and like Q just gave him a fucking claymore instead.
Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is The Hill's reporting. A guy is in court right now because he apparently used a COVID-19 relief loan to purchase a $57,000 Pokemon card.
I saw that thing. Which card did he buy? Was it a Charizard?
I have no idea. But critical support for this man. And more people should have done this and should continue to attempt to do this.
I spent my COVID stimulus check on an NFT of a trash bag full of money.
And then once trash bags full of money become in vogue, that NFT is going to skyrocket, and then that's trade it in for a real trash bag full of money.
That's right.
It can't fail.
Did you guys see that the thing going around about the artist who bought an original Warhol and made a bunch of indiscernible copies of it and is just selling all of the copies with no documentation on which one is the original? Mm-hmm. And everyone's saying, like, well, he's probably keeping the original.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, greatest grift of all time. I hope that money that he's laundering provides him with a very nice life. Like,
well, he's literally control saving as an NFT.
Yeah, but just with physical copies. He's like down at Kinko's, like, yeah, this is the original. Can you scan it like 1,000 times?
Yeah, Andy Warhol, if he was alive today, would be making ape NFTs. Guaranteed.
If he was
still alive, he would 100%, that's the shit he would be doing.
Yeah, and that's why he's, you know, just another one of the reasons he's one of the worst artists of all time.
That's right. that girl that tried to shoot him and kill him and assassinate him, critical support.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I lived in Pittsburgh for 10 years, and that city constantly fucking sucks Andy Warhol's dick, even though...
Why?
Because he's from there, but he never, after he got famous, never gave Pittsburgh the time of day for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And Pittsburgh is, like, still pathetically clinging to the fact that he's from there. So many famous people from Pittsburgh did this. Like I mentioned George Benson when I was working in Uptown. I was like, yeah, George Benson's pretty good. He's from Pittsburgh. And they were like, oh yeah, he's from right up the hill. He's from like blocks away from where we're standing. And once he got famous, never came back.
Damn.
It's very funny when famous people do that. My high school was kind of the same for Bob Seger because he went there. Come back and like do, I don't know, events or whatever. But he clearly did not give a shit. And it's like, if you became a famous rock star, why would you care about your fucking like shitty big high school in Michigan? Also, fucking Iggy Pop went there, and that's who they should have cared about, I think.
But yeah, yeah.
Not as cool for a fucking school, I guess.
Iggy Pop's way fucking cooler than Bob Seger, but probably way less liked in Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. My French teacher was always saying that. He was like, Iggy Pop's so much cooler than Bob Seger. I don't know why the school cares about Bob Seger and not Iggy Pop.
I like Bob Seger.
Yeah, he's fine. Nothing wrong with him, but it's like Iggy Pop clearly is cooler and more influential.
He was like...
Yeah, Iggy Pop has a fucking Instagram account where he posts photos with his giant bird, Biggie.
He does? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, Iggy and Biggie. It's a really good time.
That's the shit you gotta do if you make a whole bunch... If you live the dream... And you luck in a whole bunch of fucking money. You gotta do some crazy. You can't do evil shit. You gotta do stupid, crazy shit.
Well, yeah. He still never wears a shirt. And honestly, I just love him because he's a very famous, cool person with a really thick Michigan accent. Mm-hmm. Like his Hell voice yeah. is all deep and gravelly, but he still like nasalizes. And I appreciate that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, that's been your bonus beep beep. We'll put That's this in right. the main feed because when we were all sick, then we missed so many episodes. So we'll just put it in the fucking main feed. Fuck it.
Oh, yeah. I think this is a regular. The last one we put out was a bonus, but we got all discombobulated.
Oh, this is a regular episode. Yeah. Fuck it.
Everything's fucking backwards.
Here's your fucking slap, you fucking pigs.
Yeah, this is the regular.
You're not like the bonus listeners.
Yeah.
The high society.
If you want to be a cool, exclusive, high society bonus listener, you can go to patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce and you can sign up for only $5 a month. You get Discord. You get episodes. You get more stuff, maybe. You can email us if you want and we might reply.
Yeah, you get a seat at the common turn. Just tell them we sent you.
Yeah, you'll be in the the Politburo. All right.
That's right.
Yeah. Beep on, y'all.
All right, keep see you guys next time. What you know about rolling down in the deep when your brain going numb? You can call them for free when these people jump too much. Put that shit in slow motion. That I'm cool. I'm like, yeah, that's true.